Saturday morning here, WABC Talk Radio 77, James Golden, a.k.a. Snerdly. Welcome to our Saturday radio extravaganza. And we have so much to discuss. If you had been following the news at the beginning and the middle of the week, you might think that the biggest story of the week would have been the verdict that came out in the Derek Chauvin case, which, by the way, he has more problems ahead, not just the 3 guilty verdicts. But that story was overtaken by events in Ohio. Another death, this time a teenager. And it is almost unbelievable that this has turned into the kind of controversy that it has, given the facts of the case. Makai Bryant, and I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, Makai Bryant, was shot by a police officer because she had a knife and was trying to stab someone. Yet, and so if you think that, okay, young lady has a knife, the police are called to try to break up this fight where someone's life is threatened, and the young lady is shot by the police, and sadly, it's a fatality. The way it was reported was that the police officer shot and killed a black teenager. Not that the police officer saved lives, which is exactly what happened. And you have, as usual, the pundit class. Everyone from Joy Behar to Joy Reid. Joy Reid claims that it's very difficult to trust cops, even if, she says, under these circumstances, even unarmed teachers break up knife fights. I don't know where this happens. I don't know where unarmed teachers get in the middle of knife fights with students. Perhaps the schools that she attended that happens. It is not usual in American schools for students to be involved in knife fights and have teachers, unarmed teachers, breaking up knife fights. Even Don Lemon, sided with the Ohio police officer. We've got to be fair, he said. You know, people are anguished, Don Lemon said, watching another video. But even in our anguish, we cannot abandon the responsibility. We have to be fair. And even while our hearts are hurting, we have to judge each incident based on what we see and the facts that we know. Whoa, Don. Welcome to fairness. We're not used to this from CNN. We're not used to this from you, Don, but congratulations. You call this one. What Joy Behar had to say was that, and Juan Williams, my friend Juan Williams, he's a friend. Juan Williams echoed this. Joy Behar said the police should shoot a gun in the air as a warning. Really? Okay, I would love to. Are there any police officers out here that would love to comment on why this is a bad idea? 800-848-9222 is the number. 800-848-WABC. By the way, you can get our app, the WABC radio app, and you should get it. You can hear WABC around the clock. There's so many great hosts here. Charlie Kirk, if you're not current, has joined WABC. You can catch him middays during the week. Larry Kudlow comes after this music radio tonight with Cousin Brucey. My friend Rita Cosby has a show here at WABC. There's so much. Get the app, WABC Radio. Get the WABC Radio app. One of the guests on MSNBC with Joy Reid, who suggests that American teachers break up knife fights all the time, even though they're unarmed, don't know why cops can't do it. One of her guests, Joy Reid, called the shooting a murder. A murder. A murder. When police officers are called to break up a knife fight, stop a stabbing, and the only way they can stop it is to shoot the person with the knife, according to Rutgers University Associate Professor Brittany Cooper, the young girl was having a bad day. People need to be perfect in order for them to deserve dignity and good policing. This is unbelievable. I don't understand what's going on in the culture here. And I talked about that briefly last week, but people don't want to talk about this stuff, and I guess I'm going to have to anyway. Maybe get in trouble. And I don't care. What's going on in black culture in America? What is going on in black culture in America? Now, you white folks, y'all can't talk about this because you're automatically going to be called, well, you're going to be called a racist and a bigot anyway if you don't agree with everything that liberals say you should agree with, but especially when you start to delve into areas like this. Why are black teens so susceptible to killing each other? Do you know that the number one threat for black young men ages 18 to 24 comes from other young black men? That's where the murder rate spikes. It's not white cops killing them off. It's young black men killing off each other in record numbers. And it has been this way for years. Now you have girls, teenage girls, one teenage girl trying to stab another. And yet you have these so-called enlightened liberals like Joy Reid, the Joy Behars of the world, the LeBron James, haven't even got to LeBron, Auntie Maxine. No one of all of our enlightened liberal friends wants to address what is going on culturally. For over two decades now, we've had music pumped in to black households that says pretty much it's okay to hate cops, shoot cops, F the police, this, that, and the other. This is now three decades. I'm sorry, not two. F the police, shoot the pigs, all kind of horrid, antisocial, violent messaging. The messaging that comes through over and over again is that it's okay to kill each other. You know, I'm a bigger guy, I'm a better guy than you are, you're a punk, and it's a gun culture that is part of gangster rap, certainly. It was and also very misogynistic. All of this comes from companies that are major American communications companies. They have record labels. The record labels produce this filth. I guarantee you that most of the record executives, where this filth has been coming into households for now for three decades, won't allow their own children to listen to it, but it's okay to pump this stuff out into a society. So you have communications that deal with this filth. If you look at what Hollywood has been pumping out into all of our communities, the level of violence, the level of hatred, it's okay to be the villain, it's okay to be a horrible person. In fact, we'll make a villain a hero and we'll tout the hero. So when you look into all these anti-social, anti-good messages that come in the form of mass media presentations, you see that being a goody two-shoes is to be scorned. Being someone that stands up to righteousness, to living a righteous life, is scorned. People that are religious are scorned. If you look at what is coming out of Hollywood, the church, the institutions of churches are scorned, especially Christianity. Christians are seen as nutcases. And that's the way that they're portrayed in the media. If you look further in the political system, anything to do with religious belief is scorned. If you believe in the tenets that you of your religion, somehow you're a bigot. If you don't conform to their view of gender, if you don't conform to their view of sexual choice, if you don't conform to their view of abortion, somehow or another, you're the bigot. Standing up for what is right, standing up for a righteous lifestyle now is out of fashion, according to the left and according to their media giants that propel and have been sending filth into American households for three decades. Then, when you go to where kids are in terms of education, in New York City, right here in New York City, there were over 250 failing schools. So you have these kids going to schools that are failing. They're not learning anything. What they do learn from the media is that it's okay to be antisocial, anti-cop, anti-authority, anti-righteous, to live a life that's geared toward the streets, the street life, the life. Those things are promoted as being somehow good. It's good to be a player in the life, but it's not good to be a church-going, law-abiding citizen. You are met with scorn and derisiveness for that. All of these things and more contribute to a black culture in America, an African-American culture that has devolved. It has devolved from the 1950s. In the 1950s, 1960s, black households had the lowest rate of abortion in the country. Today it's the highest. In the 1950s, black families had the highest rate of two-parent families. Today, it's the lowest. When you look at what has happened to black culture, you understand, well, you can't understand, but we can see it with our own eyes what's happening. In city after city after city after city, all run by liberals, you have these problems. And it's not just problems of cops killing black people. Look at the murder rate on your average weekend in Chicago. Look at the violence that occurs in Detroit, Miami, Atlanta, Los Angeles. There is an epidemic of violence. There is an epidemic of evil that has affected a major part of a culture. And we are not allowed to talk about that. Instead, what we have to talk about is that cops who are trying to stop someone from being killed should shoot a gun into the air. This makes zero sense. James Golden with you, WABC Talk Radio 77. Feel free to join us, 800-848-WABC, 848-9222. Right back.
A dedication to all the refugees worldwide. One time.
Say, say, say. I remember when we used to sit.
James Golden.
In a government yard in Brooklyn.
WABC Talk Radio 77. Saturday morning. WABC Talk Radio 77. Now, the big trial of the week, of course, was before events in Ohio overtook it, Derek Chauvin. Now, I found something very curious about that. If you had watched the media coverage all week long, before the verdict was announced, we were being prepped for the verdict to be not guilty from the left. And it was a warning. This is one of the reasons Maxine Waters went out and pretty much told protesters to get more confrontational, which the judge of the trial reacted to, saying these inflammatory statements have no place and they could actually lead to a mistrial. So the message before the verdict came was, if there's a not guilty verdict, America is an evil, rotten, disgusting, horrible country. And that's what we should expect. So when the verdict came and the verdict was guilty on all three counts, the message became America is a dirty, rotten, filthy place. And that's what we should expect because President Joe Biden led the way with this by saying verdicts are all too rare like this. Fair verdicts are rare in America. That's utter nonsense. Joe Biden is our president. Joe Biden is a former prosecutor himself, as Kamala Harris, vice president, is. And yet, the Biden-Harris regime says that fair judicial verdicts in America are rare. And then you have people like this other woman that was on MSNBC, Greer. She's a Dr. Christina Greer. She's from Fordham University. What is going on in our universities here, especially in New York? She's still jarred every time that she sees the video of Derek Chauvin leaning on George Floyd. We can't get immune to that. I agree with that. But she says we have to have a real conversation about institutional change. She claims that many of the police officers in Minnesota went through extra training. It didn't work. And what she's calling for is a widespread, real systematic cleansing of police departments. Look, and I have to say something, too, about some of my friends on the right. One of my, a Fox News host, whose name I won't get into, not looking to pick a fight with him, but he pretty much said that the verdict confirms that there's an alliance between, you know, blah, blah, and BLM, and found all these distorted rationales to explain the verdict, as if the verdict should have come in not guilty. No. The verdict is that the guy murdered George Floyd. I mean, hello, people saw this with their own eyes. They saw the police officer's knee on his neck for 9 minutes, even while the life was being drained from him, and George Floyd, after complaining he couldn't breathe, was foaming at the mouth before he died. This was open and shut. Anybody who saw the video understood this is wrong, and he was guilty. You don't have to come and try to be smarter than the rest of the world and try to come up with all these rationales for why there was a guilty verdict. It was easy. He was guilty. It's real simple. And I had some guy on Twitter tell me that I was wrong to say that the cop crushed the life out of him with his knee on his neck. He said that's not what the autopsy said. I don't give a damn what the autopsy said. We all saw what happened. This isn't difficult. And for my fellow conservatives who want to keep trying to be the unconventional wisdom on this, really, check yourself. There was a guilty verdict because there deserved to be a guilty verdict. It's not that hard. The guy killed him. He murdered him. Okay, he's going to hopefully do some time, and his problems are not over. He was convicted of second degree, third degree murder, but now the DOJ is mulling, whether to charge the now convicted Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin in connection with a 2017 incident where he allegedly violently handled a 14-year-old boy, used his knee to hold the teenager down for almost 17 minutes. Pattern? One of the alternate jurors, this is from BizPack Review, one of the alternate jurors in the Chauvin case says today she was concerned that they would come to her house, a mob. She said she had mixed feelings. She didn't want to go through rioting and destruction again. She was concerned about people coming to her house if they were not happy with the verdict. And that is understandable in today's bully culture. You have left-wing mobs that show up with impunity at people's houses, especially when they're on the right, and nothing happens to those people at all. We've had left-wing mobs show up. You have Antifa still destroying American cities with no response from the left at all. So do jurors have to be concerned about these things? Yes, it's sad. But even that does not take away the open and shut nature of this case. The cop had his knee on the guy's neck for 9 minutes, folks. Guilty? Simple. Yeah. We all knew that before the case started. I mean, there is the presumption of innocence. So, okay, he was innocent until he's proven guilty. Well, now he's guilty. He was guilty from the beginning. But, okay, he had the presumption of innocence. He's guilty. He did it. Not hard. And is it rare? What's rare is that a police officer does this in America. There are millions and millions and millions of interactions between police officers and citizens every day, every week, every year in America. Most of them do not end up like this. I am the first one to say that rogue cops ought to be found out, removed from their force quickly. There should be a zero tolerance for rogue cops. But let us be clear. What is rare in America is for a cop to be a rogue cop. Most of the police officers, most people in law enforcement in America are doing their best to protect American citizens from evil, from violence, from wrongdoing. It is an honorable profession. They are honorable people. They do not need to be consistently demonized by people who bounce basketballs for a living and apparently have basketballs running around in their heads for brains. James Golden, WABC Talk Radio 77. You can join us 800-848-9222. 848-WABC. See. Michelle, I love you, the Beatles. Check out tonight, Cousin Brucey, Music Radio 77 WABC. Make sure you get that WABC app. Keep WABC with you all the time. Charlie Kirk has done some amazing things. If you don't know Charlie Kirk, Turning Point USA, this kid has millions now of students that he's impacted on college campuses around the country, organizing, being an activist, and they're doing great things. They're the ones that brought Candace Owens to the forefront. And Charlie Kirk's right here, weekdays, WABC Talk Radio 77, midday. Greg Kelly's here. You can also check out Rita Cosby. After me today, Larry Kudlow, economic genius. Tony Orlando, tonight. You know, and Cousin Brucey. I mean, I grew up with Cousin Brucey here on WABC Talk Radio 7, the crown jewel of American radio. We're going to move to the phones. Justin, who do we have?
Let's go to Mark in New Jersey.
WABC. Hey, Mark, how you doing this morning?
Hi, James, a.k.a. Snurdly.
Thank you.
I have a comment about the, about the stabbing and shooting. But first I have to say I always look forward to when the great Rush would open up your mic and have you talk. I just have to add a quick question. I mean, you're a natural. Why did you never go on your own? And now it's the time. But that, first of all, and hopefully I think you're going to get a primetime slot real soon. But the thing about this, hopefully you'll comment about that. But the thing about the stabbing shooting, the media always has it their own way and both ways and every way, because if the cop didn't – react that way and save the other girl's life, they would say, oh, you know, she's black. He didn't want to save that girl's life because she's black.
Right. So in other words, if the cop had just let the perpetrator stab the other woman to death and then take her into custody, it would have been, why didn't the cop do something?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Typical. Great point. Now, let me answer your first question. For 7 years, I did a weekend show with WABC. So I am back home now on my home station on WABC, the station, the radio station that I love and have loved for all my life. I was the music director of WABC and their first talk show producer, the senior producer when they turned talk. And WABC is where my roots are. And I am so grateful to John, to Dave, to Chad that they allowed me to come back home and be part of the WABC family here. And they have also made sure that my producers, my staff, Ray and Justin, I mean, I have top-notch people to work with every week. And so I'm having the time of my life here. And I'm busy doing some other things. I have a podcast series that will start on the life of Rush. That's coming up. You can find that on my website, jamesgolden.com, or you will be able to find it soon. And I am very hopeful that in the future there will be some other things that I'm doing. Now, why didn't I do all of that during? Look, I had a chance to work with the greatest guy in the business. And would I rather work with the greatest guy in the business than be on the air and being one of the not greatest guys in the business? It was amazing being with Rush. He was the most. Rush is second generation founding father. He's a new founding father. He had impact on America. I wrote the cover story for this month's Limbaugh Letter on Rush, and you should check that out too. The Rush Limbaugh's impact on this country will survive him by generations, and so I had a chance to work with him for 3 decades, and I wouldn't give that up for anything, not even to be on the air myself 5 days a week. So that's the answer to your question. Justin, where do we go next?
We go to Pablo in Staten Island.
Staten Island, New York. What's up, Pablo?
Good morning, Mr. Golden. I'm retired now in 35, 37 years, okay? Every, almost to the letter, every police agency in the United States has banned the use of a warning shot.
Okay. Can you explain why?
It's dangerous. if you're at any kind of angle, it could careen off a building, shoot. We have tons of aircraft now flying over, hit an aircraft, and it's just dangerous. The only time they even remotely authorize it is if you're dying and you need help and you're in a remote area and trying to, you know, reach somebody. But it is a dangerous thing, just like our great, and I'm being facetious, president saying, oh, why can't you shoot him in the leg? Why can't you shoot me? In a situation where a police officer is encountering a crime and there's people shoot back. We're not at a range. They shoot back at you. Or they come upon it. There's adrenaline. I've seen people miss with a gun 3 feet away, with a rifle, not a gun, a rifle that you never can miss. And they train you to try to come on these situations under stress. They put you on a whole bunch of stress, and then they put you in the range. Lights are out, sirens are flashing, and you're supposed to hit a target in the dark 3 feet away from you, because most firearm in confrontations are from 3 to 7 feet away. They're not like in the movies, you're shooting from a car to a fifth-story apartment building and shooting the gun out of somebody's hand. That's bull. That's cowboy movie. They teach you to shoot to the center mass. Now, in this situation, and people have different angles of view from a cell phone camera or something like that, there were seconds before that knife, from if you see the distance, could have plunged into that girl. He had no choice because he yelled everybody down, and she continued in a forward action with the knife. And unfortunately, she's a young girl, and of course, everybody that gets killed in this comes out with their graduation picture or with their baby daddy picture and their model students. You know, this is typical. But what happened here is this other girl could have been killed.
Right.
You only have split seconds to act. Criminals always have the option. You
right.
have to follow procedure. Are they making an overt move toward you? Are they holding a weapon? And this is all in milliseconds that you have to think.
And I thank you so much for this. And the reason that I wanted you to explain that fully was because people need to understand how, first of all, we need an appreciation for how difficult the jobs are for these people that we send in to situations that most of us would never go into ourselves. Anything can happen with a person, and Joy Reid says that unarmed teachers break up knife fights every day in American schools. Well, hell, if that's really what's happening in American schools, we need a complete study on where it's happening, why it's happening, and why it's been allowed to happen. It is dangerous. Juan Williams, my dear friend, it is dangerous. Joy Behar, who I used to work with for a time, right here at WABC Talk Radio 77. It is dangerous for a police officer to shoot guns into the air. There are no warning shots. The bullet doesn't stop traveling. The bullet travels. If it goes up, it's going to come down. That's science. We don't know where it's going to come down. Well, shoot the bullet into the ground. The bullet can deflect on something and still end up killing someone or gravely injuring someone. You eliminate the threat. That is what police officers are trained to do. And it is time for you leftists to put your outrage, your continuous, nonstop, everyday hate America, hate American institutions outrage aside, and stop demonizing our law enforcement community. These are people who put their lives on the line. I guarantee you Joy. I guarantee you Joy Reid, Joy Behar, my friend Juan Williams. I guarantee you that if you are ever put in a life or death situation with some weird, crazy person trying to attack you, you would want and welcome the presence of a trained law enforcement person to intercede on your behalf. James Golden, Talk Radio 77 WABC, back in a moment. WABC, Talk Radio 77, the crown jewel of American radio. James Golden, a.k.a. Snurly, here with you. It's our Saturday radio extravaganza. And listen, domestic policy advisor Diana Mee will be here next hour. And we have an amazing guy that's going to join us for a conversation. His name is Vernon Jones. Vernon is a Democrat. And he made waves when he came out in support. He's an elected Democrat in Georgia. He's also African-American. Made waves when he came out in favor of President Trump for re-election. And how he survives as a Democrat, I'll never know. And we're going to speak with him about these matters, about what's going on in Georgia, the left, and why he is who he is. And that's coming up in the next hour, too. Again, domestic policy advisor Diana Mee is going to join us. Lots to discuss there. Joe Biden's trickle-up economics. John Kerry and Joe Biden. You know, Joe Biden did his virtual climate change summit this week. 40 countries participated, including China. Joe Biden promises that we are going to cut our emissions in half. And what that will do to America is something I want to discuss with domestic policy advisor Diana Mee. The Democrats are warning that if this move to censure Auntie Maxie for trying to incite violence goes through, it's going to open up the floodgates. I want to hear what domestic policy advisor Diana Mee has to say about that. And there are other issues. One of our big political experts in the country, Madonna, has weighed in. Madonna is calling for gun control and police accountability. She made this call on Instagram. A video shows her putting up signs with the hashtags Wake Up America and Gun Control Now. So according to Madonna, America is asleep and we need to be woke. Madonna tells us we're asleep and we need gun control now. Toward the end of the video, she turns to the camera. She gives an impassioned speech about gun control. Have you heard of this new vaccination for America? Madonna asks. It's going to keep us all alive. It's going to keep us all safe. It's called gun control, okay? It's called gun safety, all right? New vaccination. It should be mandatory for all citizens. Madonna. And by the way, I actually like Madonna as a performer. She's amazing. Madonna, gun control expert, says that Adam Toledo was 13 years old. Dante Wright was 20. The officers who killed them are only being charged with manslaughter. This is insanity, horrific, and yet it has become normalized in our society. Yes, people kill people, not guns, but the vast majority of people are not enlightened. And guns are too easy to own. If they were outlawed, then no one would feel the need to own a gun to protect themselves from those who have guns. What? What? She actually... Okay, let me read that again for you. Yes, people kill people, not guns. said Madonna. But the vast majority of people are not enlightened, and guns are too easy to own. If they were outlawed, then no one would feel the need to own a gun to protect themselves from those who have guns. Madonna. Ah, poor girl. I mean, how seriously, Madonna? I've seen Madonna. One of my dear friends is a world-class, amazing musician. He's like a brother to me, and we grew up. And he performed with Madonna for many years. I got a chance to, her work ethic is amazing as a performer. Her marketing ethics are amazing. She's reinvented herself her whole career. Sadly, her reinventing herself as a political pundit isn't going as well as the way that she reinvented herself as a performer. Poor Madonna. Yes, people kill people, not guns, but the vast majority of people are not enlightened. Let's stop there. Madonna, believe it or not, hun, you're not the smartest brick in the stack. People are enlightened, and more people are enlightened about their Second Amendment rights and what it means to the world and to this country than you give them credit for. A disarmed America would be an invitation for attack from every other hostile power on the face of the earth. One of the reasons that you are safe in America is that there is not a country in the world that wants to come here and try to invade this country because they know they'd never get out of here alive. Because we have a Second Amendment. And if you look at the birth of the Second Amendment, why it was necessary, you would understand that our founders understood that American people should have the right to not only defend themselves from bad, evil people, but from a government that's out of control. And that is one of the things that changed the world, and changed the world from a feudalistic society where all the power reigned at monarchy level or at dictator level to a functioning republic that was able to operate freely. It was the amendments to the Constitution and the Constitution that revolutionized the world, that gave us the society that you have prospered in. You don't understand it, and yet you claimed that everyone else is unenlightened because they don't support your liberal point of view. Now, let's go to this other part. If guns were outlawed, then no one would feel the need to own a gun to protect themselves. Have you ever heard of criminals, Madonna? Criminals. It is already against the law for them to have guns. We already have gun control laws that say these guns are not to be had. The illegal weapons industry is huge. And they are owned by people who don't care about the law. You introducing one more law will not change that. By the way, my dear, sweet Madonna, brilliant showbiz personality that you are. Oh, enlightened Madonna. Do you not understand, Princess of the Perfect, that it is already against the law to commit murder? That we have laws that say people are not supposed to shoot people. And people do it anyway. What we need in America, my dear, darling Madonna, Empress of the smart, Empress of the enlightened, what we need is to change people's hearts so that they no longer feel the need to commit heinous acts against other human beings. And maybe if those of you in the entertainment industry who have so much leverage, who have so much to say about American society, would look inward at what your own industry has done to pollute American values, to destroy American values, maybe you would stop calling the rest of us unenlightened and realize that it is your own industry that needs to be enlightened. It is your industry that needs to understand that people should not have violent, ugly messages that promote hate, that promote antisocial behavior thrust on them for the sake of profit. My dear enlightened Madonna, as much as you would like to think that the vaccination that we all need is gun control, it's not. The vaccination we all need is an understanding of how great this country is, how unique our Constitution is, how wonderful our freedoms and liberty are, and the impact that they've had not only on American lives, but of lives all over the world. You need to understand why you're prosperous, why you have succeeded. It is because America set the stage for your success, where you could rise from a middle-class child with very little talent as a singer to become a great singer, to become a great performer that can take your talent worldwide and prosper. That's America. My friends on the left, please consider this. Love your country. It's okay. Love what America is. Love what America has done for you. Stop chopping down everything. Justice isn't rare in America. Injustice is rare in America. America is a land that gives opportunity not just to its citizens, but has brought freedom and liberty to millions and billions of people around the face of the earth. There is no other nation on the face of the earth where the entertainment royalty of that nation spends much of their life condemning the country that has given them so much, whether they're in sports like LeBron or whether they're in the music industry like Madonna. Guys, take a minute. Study your country. Learn how good and how great America is. If you do that, you'll do more good for not only you, but for everybody else in this country. James Golden, WABC Talk Radio 77, back with hour number two. Don't you dare go anywhere. The curtain rises on hour two of your Saturday morning radio extravaganza with James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, on Talk Radio 77, WABC, the crown jewel of American radio. If you want to be part of the program, 1-800-848-WABC, 800-848-9222. Love to hear from you. This hour, we have Vernon Jones with us for a few moments. And we'll have domestic policy advisor Diana Mee, along with you and your calls at 800-848-WABC. Make sure to get that WABC app. Keep WABC radio with you all week long, all day long. Great lineup here during the week. From our morning show all the way through, Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk represents a new generation of American youth that we all need to be excited about. You can hear him middays at WABC. And we've got people from all over. Rita Cosby's doing the show here. Go to the website. Go to WABCradio.com. Check out the full lineup. It is totally amazing what is happening at this radio station. I'm glad to be a part of it here on Saturdays with you. Now, there's some other things in the news that I want to cover besides the mayhem, the shootings, the stabbings, the continuous attack that our police officers face. President Trump, I saw President Trump last weekend. I was in Florida. I had the opportunity to MC the Lincoln Day dinner for the Republican, the Palm Beach Republican Party. And by the way, that is an organization. If you want to see how a state organization is run on a local level, county level, the Palm Beach County Republicans are amazing. So I was at Mar-a-Lago last week emceeing the Lincoln Day dinner, and President Trump was there. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was there. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis was there. Senator Rick Scott was there. Senator Rubio joined by video. Linda Stock, who and Michael Barnett, who run the show there at Palm Beach, put together an amazing evening. President Trump had the crowd electrified, as did Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who took the time to actually go through the record of achievement, especially in foreign policy, that President Trump initiated. President Trump was on with my dear friend Sean Hannity talking about big tech, Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, Google. He said that all of these companies should face the scrutiny of antitrust investigatory bodies given their monopolistic actions toward American political discourse. And he is right. Anyone that, if you look at what Facebook has tried to do to conservative publishing, you would understand what suppression is. If you understand what Twitter has done, and we see that with Twitter's relationship with President Trump, where they banned him for life. I mean, it's astounding that they get away with this. Then you look at our friend James O'Keefe, who was with us last week, ran undercover videos about CNN and was promptly suspended from Twitter. And Trump called the revelations that Project Veritas uncovered incredible, a campaign violation. What they're doing is a massive campaign violation. In other words, what CNN admits to doing, which is favoring and the Democrats and trying their best to get him out of office, not to report the news, but to get him out of office, they're campaigning for the Democrats, and this should be subject to investigation. CNN should be regarded as a like-kind donation for their coverage to the Democrat Party. And President Wright is absolutely on point in demanding an investigation into these big tech companies. And why should they have immunity if they're playing favorites? These are not open platforms. These are platforms that are set up to be politically discriminatory. There's a political story today about President Trump, too. It says that it's been exactly 1 year since Trump suggested injecting bleach. We've never been the same. Now, I'm not even going to go through this nonsense about the bleach. My question to Politico is, where's the story that it's been 1 year since Andrew Cuomo, Governor Whitmer, and others forced elderly people into nursing homes and thousands upon thousands died of COVID? Where's that story? Are we ever going to see that story? I'm going to take a break early. We'll be right back. Saturday morning, WABC. The crown jewel of American radio. This is James Golden, a.k.a. Snerdly. Rockin' and rollin'. Make sure you're here tonight with Cousin Brucey, Music Radio, WABC. You know, there's a story that I love. This file this under karma. Okay? Comes from South Africa. An alleged poacher is believed to have suffered an eye injury. Another one is dead. A suspected poacher was trampled to death by a herd of elephants in South Africa. This happened last weekend. The man and his two accomplices ran into a herd of elephants as they were trying to escape from park rangers who had spotted them at the Kruger National Park, one of Africa's largest game reserves. Yeah, they found a man badly trampled. He didn't make it. The elephants took him out. Karma. Karma can be ugly sometimes. The Supreme Court is going to be here in America. Our Supreme Court is going to be looking at a case that is going to have profound implications depending on which way they rule, and that is on donor disclosure, on which political donors have to be disclosed. Now, I'll tell you why this is important without going through. The Wall Street Journal editorial board has written about this today, but I'll tell you what the real deal is. Liberals have tried to dox donors on the Republican side, and they've done so very successfully in California. And what they're doing is this is part of the cancel culture. And in fact, this may have been one of the beginning moves in the left's cancel culture strategy. What they did was embarrass. They uncovered who donors were on issues that they didn't like and protested in front of their house, embarrassed them. What they're doing is trying to intimidate Republican and conservative people from not giving to their candidates or the issues of their choice. You'll remember that even in Silicon Valley, some conservatives were doxed, exposed, or the employees of their companies actually tried to force them to resign, which is another technique that's being used. And you can see that in Hollywood. The Hollywood Foreign Press Association has been in hot water since an article in February said they have zero black people among its 87 voting members. Okay. But one of their leaders was disqualified from his job. He was canceled for calling Black Lives Matter a racist hate movement. He's not supposed to have an opinion. Excuse me. Now, another story might have the solution to everything, all of us. The author of the sixth extinction, Earth is now on the verge of a new mass extinction, and it's going to be as big as the dinosaur wipeout. And guess who might go extinct? Us. Human beings' problems? Over. Maybe. 4 billion year history on the Earth, there have been 5 mass extinctions. Most scientists agree on that. Elizabeth Colbert, author of the Pulitzer Prize-winning The Sixth Extinction, told CBS, the question of how much we're responsible for it is pretty much 100%. So you see, we're responsible for what's coming. We are going to wipe ourselves out. And her last book predicted climate change is going to lead to all of this. Under a White Sky. Sounds racist. Under a white sky, she says. But apparently, we've done it now. We're in big doo-doo. We are going to kill ourselves. We're going to have a mass extinction bigger than the dinosaurs. We're all gone. Problem's over. We're done. See you in human heaven. No more political fights. No nothing. The roaches the cockroaches are going to take over planet Earth. That was the when I was a kid. That was in one of the movies. We're going to wipe ourselves out. With nuclear bombs. The only ones that are going to survive are going to be the roaches because they are, you know, smart. In Alabama, switching gears entirely, the governor has signed a ban on transgender athletes. Good. Maybe. Maybe not. Justin.
Yes, sir.
You've got sound. What do we have?
Well, let's start off with Jen Psaki, silent P, on D.C. statehood. She says Biden supports it.
Well, President Biden strongly supports D.C. statehood, and our administration will work with Congress to get it passed. We put out a statement of administration policy in strong support of H.R. 51 just this morning. His view is that the denial of voting representation in Congress and local self-government to the 712,000 residents of our nation's capital violates two of our nation's founding principles, no taxation without representation and consent of the governed. And he will continue to advocate for this passing.
Read the Constitution. This is unconstitutional, period. What else you have, Austin?
Joy Reid suggests that police shoot black people but not armed white people like Kyle Rittenhouse.
The thing is that by definition, if police are being called, then something has taken place that is either criminal, right, or is either frightening to someone in the community. And that's whether the person is white or black. So don't give me the, you know, police didn't have a choice. If they're being called to a situation where they believe a crime is committed, that's true whether the person is white or black. But we have seen police tussle with and beg white defendants who even have a gun, who even have a knife, because in that case, too, somebody was called because something was criminal. And they seem to have figured out an alternative to killing that person. Kyle Rittenhouse, the police knew he just shot two people.
This is what passes for journalism in America today. What else do we have, Justin?
The Columbus police chief was asked by a reporter, why not shoot him in the leg?
One of the difficult things with that is when you're trying, we don't train to shoot the leg because that's a small target. We train to shoot center mass. What is available to stop that threat? There was a threat going on, a deadly force threat that was going on, so the officer is trained to shoot center mass, the largest part of a body that is available to them. When you try to start shooting legs or arms, rounds miss, and then they continue on, and there are people behind that could be in danger that are not committing anything. So we try and minimize any danger to anyone else if we have to use our firearm.
Yeah, that makes sense. Can somebody tell that to Joy and to Juan, my dear friend Juan Williams, who we should shoot up in the air, or we should shoot their legs, or whatever it is. Yeah. Justin, what's next?
Something you previously mentioned, Joy Behar. Shoot the gun in the air, in the leg, in the behind.
I really can't figure it out anymore. I mean, it seems to me, in a situation, this is what it looked like to me, and I've looked at the tape and I still can't figure it out. Shoot the gun in the air, if there's a warning, tase a person, shoot them in the leg, shoot them in the behind, you know, stop them somehow. But if the only solution is to kill a teenager? There's something wrong with this.
Again, this is what passes for. Well, she's not a journalist, let's be fair. She's a comedian. And it's not funny, but it's kind of what we expect, I guess, from our entertainment class these days. Shoot them in the behind. And while they've got a knife, something's wrong with this. Because she's a teenager with a knife trying to kill someone else, shoot them in the behind. Yeah, for some people, I guess the behind is where most of the intellectual capacity takes place. But it just doesn't make sense to the rest of us. Joy, I'm sorry you can't figure this out. When people's lives are in danger, the police officers show up and they do what they can to stop the danger. And that's not shooting people in the behind. Time for callers. Who do we have, Justin?
Let's go to Ralph in New Jersey.
Ralph, welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77.
Thank you for taking my call, Boss Nordley. Let me just say something about this man, LeBron James, because, you know, he rushed the judgment. He goes to the final conclusion without thoroughly analyzing the tape that happened there.
You're talking about LeBron James' tweet that basically threatened the life of a law enforcement officer, saying, "You're next."
For the police officer in the crosshair, exactly.
Right.
And you also have, you know, Mad Max and Kerosene Maxine, which is not far behind in terms of being outrageous and irrational. Okay. But with regard to LeBron James, you should just stick to playing ball, because, you know, you shoot over your mouth and sometimes you put your foot in your mouth. That's what it ends up looking here. And what is the cop supposed to do, James? Okay, he is caught in a situation that is catch 22.
Listen, and I appreciate your call very much, but let me just put it like this. Look, a lot of these entertainers and sports guys feel under pressure. They're part of a community now that they think that they're expected to weigh in on these social matters. Not quite as they don't have the same philosophy that Michael Jordan had, for instance, which is, hey, Republicans buy sneakers too, and other people. In other words, they take sides because it's a status thing. And let's face facts. Some of these people, I mean, look, LeBron is a great basketball player. And I need to say this about LeBron James too. LeBron James has put his money where his mouth is in terms of helping his communities. He's donated millions of dollars to try to help people in need in impoverished communities. And for that, I give him a lot of credit. He's done that. In terms of politics, and social policy, and he hasn't spent as much time thinking about that kind of stuff as he has trying to figure out how to make basketballs go into a hoop, I suppose would be the kindest way to put it. Thank you for the call. James Golden, WABC Talk Radio 77. We'll be back. When we get back, domestic policy advisor Diana Mee joins us, and we have more of your calls coming up. Stay with us. WABC Talk Radio 77. Justin, where are we going?
Let's go to Patrick in Long Island.
Patrick, time's running short, my friend. Make your point.
Yes. My point is that LeBron James made a comment that when he was doing some kind of basketball event, he's not there for white people. Okay, he's there to shoot hoops. So, I mean, we're going to continue to be divisive. I mean, I don't get it.
You know, maybe it's time for people like you that have been offended by LeBron to kind of, I don't know, let the NBA know that this is not playing well. And I don't know what LeBron's thing is, but all I know is he is really annoying a lot of his fellow Americans. Thank you for the call. Justin, where are we going next?
Let's go to Steve in New Jersey.
Steve, what's up? James Golden, WABC Talk Radio 77 with you.
Mr. Bo James, thanks for taking my call. I was told to be quick. The answer is not to police brutality or any issues with the police, not to defund them or pass reforms that hamper their ability to do their job. You know, you increase funding so you can hire and train better police officers. They do the most important job in the United States by enforcing the law. They maintain order in the civil society. People just need to get past this. You increase funding to the police. What do you think, James?
I think you're absolutely right. I am going to be very vocal when there are rogue cops and when rogue cops do bad things. I think all of us need to be very vocal about that. We police are a part of the government, and we should make them accountable to the people of the United States. That said, the police, as you say, have one of the most difficult jobs in our society. They deserve our support, and they have earned our support. Thank you for calling. Where are we going, Justin?
Let's go to Susan in Morristown.
Morristown, New Jersey. Hi, Susan. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I listened earlier to what you were saying about the music. I so agree about that. But right now, I just want to say, what about we get an interview from the woman who was saved from being knifed? And maybe she would have gratitude And I know we talk so much about gratitude being something good for emotional health. And, you know, maybe she has some gratitude, and the conservative and pro-law and order people like us want to hear somebody who feels grateful for being saved from being knifed in the gut. You know, if she would have lived, maybe it would hurt her fertility or just horrible thing that would have happened to her. And she was saved from that.
And you make an incredible point. And you know what your point says? Your point is directed toward the media that has spent so much time invested in this story to try to harm the police officer involved and make this an unjustifiable shooting. Where is the person that was saved? Why haven't we heard from her? And that is a failure of the mainstream media to cover all of the sides of the story that are relevant. An excellent point. I thank you. Justin, next.
Let's go to Raul in New Jersey. Final call of the day.
Raul, we have time for one more call. It's you. Make your point.
Good morning. That was my same question. I haven't heard from the young lady who's about to meet her day. You understand? Why? Why not? Let's be fair.
Fairness. Let's be fair. Let's be fair to the... Thank you so much. All of you who've joined us today on WABC Talk Radio 77, thank you so much for being here. I love WABC Talk Radio 77. This is my home. New York is my home. Greatest city on the planet Earth. America, the greatest nation on the planet Earth. And I know that we spend a lot of time each week dealing with the problems, dealing with the news, dealing with all of things that we can consider negative. But there is so much positive. And that's what I want to leave you with. America, we have before us the ability to continue to do what we have done for two centuries. And that is be the light of the world. Our freedoms in this country surpassed the freedoms that mankind has had since mankind existed. We, Americans, have shown people how to advance themselves economically, how we can advance themselves politically. We have to constantly remember who we are. We are Americans. We are the citizens of the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And WABC is the crown jewel of American radio in the greatest city on earth, New York. God bless you all. See you next Saturday. James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly.